Hey everybody, this is Paul from Forged Narrative. I'm joined today by Mr. Robin Crudis.
Hi, how you doing?
We are in the Games Workshop HQ, specifically in the, I think, in the employee commissary.
In the canteen. The only little place we could find a way that's quiet. It's mad out there. It's just people buzzing around, full of excitement for 40,000. Bugman's bar is rammed.
There's a pub quiz going on right now.
There's a pub quiz going on right now. We've kind of stepped out of to kind of like have a chat here. But yeah, they seem to be having loads of fun.
And we just came off of you playing a game of Warhammer 40K 8th edition, and I was running commentary on Warhammer TV.
Yeah, how was that?
It was awesome.
Yeah, cool.
I never get tired of talking about this stuff.
Good. I don't get tired about playing it. It was a great game. Really, really, really good.
Earlier, before we started recording this, you were talking about that game, and I guess the joy that you were describing, the game did not go very well for you.
No. I lost. My little strike force was wiped off the table, but only just.
Yeah.
Only just, literally with the last dice roll of the game.
You were playing Howling Griffins.
Yeah, so I had my Howling Griffins, and they had I had a kind of allied Imperial Knight with them, and I was going up against the Astra Militarum, and yeah, that was just all the way through, that was just a really, really tough fight. It was really good.
The Astra Militarum are very strong. They get all the toys, and the toys got better.
The toys got better. The thing that kind of surprised me when I found the list was, because we were playing 1,500 points, so kind of a fairly small game, but the colonel had still managed to squeeze a brigade in there. So he just came to the table with 12 command points, and that was the thing which really cinched it for him. It was just the ability to just re-roll those critical dice rolls at
12 command points.
Yeah.
And you came in with 3.
I came in with 3, because I've got Imperial Knight. I thought, he needs command points. You know,
who needs luck have a knight?
I've got raw firepower. I've got might on my side. But no, I needed command points is what I needed.
I know we just jumped right into it, but tell us about what your role in this Warhammer 40K 8th edition is.
Cool. So I am the lead rules writer on 40,000. So to a large extent, the rules that you see in the book were written by me originally, and then with a team of the rest of the rules writers, we set about writing the index books. It's been a very long process, and I probably started that looking at just kind of like prototypes and what could we do about 2 years ago now. And the rest of the team sort of like been working alongside that as well for at least 12 months as well. So I've been working very hard. 40,000 has this edition has literally been my life for the last 2 years.
What's so different? I mean, it's a brand new game.
It is. Jervis, who's one of the rules writers here, you know, he sort of said, you know, it's the biggest change we've done since we've gone from the second, third edition, and we're really proud of it. We think it's the best edition of Warhammer 40,000 has ever been. I hope everybody agrees. I hope everybody has as much time playing it now as we've had developing it. And it's been a lot of work, and we've had a lot of help, particularly from our playtesting teams and everybody who we can collar to kind of like give us feedback, make sure that this is as exciting, as fun as it can be, and particularly for that kind of that match play style of things. Those guys have got access to kind of like resources, being able to ask those guys and invite those guys to help us get that right has been groundbreaking for us. So it's a brave new world, and I hope people are seeing the benefits and the dividends of that.
You showed a willingness to break the mold, being risky.
As Jervis has said, it's the biggest change we've made to this game system in a very long time, and that's quite a daunting thing. It's really, really kind of a great privilege, a great honour, but there's a lot of responsibility there. You know, this is my favourite game too. This is my hobby too. I love this.
Dude,
thing.
Talking to you just a few minutes before we started this, I could tell it was there. It was this, the joy that you have for the game, and it's translated, man. How did you feel, or when you just see these things just flying off the shelf? I mean, it's got to be good. And the line was out the door this morning of people getting their pre-orders.
It mad. You know, the pre-order sales are kind of like the first kind of metric that we get. And they were off the charts. It's kind of hugely rewarding. It's a dream come true. You know, if I go back to kind of like, you know, 8-year-old Robin, you know, back at school, what do you want to do? You know, I'd love to get to kind of write my favorite rule system, for my favorite game. So you know that's a tick off the bucket list. Yeah, it's been a huge privilege. And I spent a lot of work, a lot of late evenings and a lot of weekends and things put into that. So yeah, it feels unreal that it's here because I think up until today it's kind of been secret. And there've been a few samples of books out here there and a few pre-production print offs and things, but it's all been secret. And then, you know, there's quite non-disclosure agreements there, so yeah, keep it secret, keep it safe. And then you're seeing people walking around openly with them, and it doesn't feel like that. Have you signed it? Oh, no, it's all right. You don't need to sign it, an NDA. It's good. It's out there. It's
the terror of seeing a copy on a table, just unattended.
Yeah, but it's out there now. And people are, you know, they'll all be creating lists. People are playing games with it now, having loads of chatter and stuff. You know, and we're getting some good feedback from people now as well. It's brilliant. You know, this is not the end. This is literally just the beginning.
How difficult was it to sell these changes internally? Because you, as a business, maybe this type of change is not something you're comfortable with the first time you see it.
Ooh, thinking back now to 2 years, we had a few different ideas for actually kind of like different game systems completely. We're improving. It was literally a case of trying them out and essentially presenting them. You know, once we thought, yeah, there's something here, we would go and present that to members of the board or you know, managers like Pete, and sort of like, you know, just get everybody's buy-in. I remember there was one thing I was supposed to be demoing it to our head of IP at the time, and I couldn't make the appointment, I couldn't make the meeting, because my wife had just given birth to our first daughter, so I was actually at the hospital holding my new baby daughter. Texting me, yeah, not sorry, I'm sorry, I'm not going to be able to make this meeting.
Yep.
That was kind of like 21 months ago. But we had two or three things, and actually everything was kind of, you know, off the table. As long as it fulfilled the kind of the goals of being really exciting, staying true to the intellectual property, showing off the models, and you know, our goal was to create the best miniatures fantasy war game in the world, whatever we do to achieve that.
Without any like sacred cows, as the phrase is what it, other than showcasing the miniatures and being exciting.
Yeah. The miniatures are, you know, they're the stars of the show, they're the actors in our movie, so we wanted a game that really kind of showed them off to the limit, and I think we had a lot of learnings and things we wanted to kind of put in, so we were kind of working at the same time, because 140,000 overlapped for lots of other projects, and one of the most influential ones there was the General's Handbook for Age of Sigmar. And the revolutionary thing that did was really kind of like cementing the idea that different people want to play games in different ways. So you end up with kind of like these kind of like, you know, rough labels of match play, open play, and narrative play. And so we absolutely wanted to kind of like incorporate that into what we did with 140,000. But the core game itself, most of it was based off a really good conversation I had with a very good friend of mine, a guy called Stu, who lives around the corner, and you know, we play games once a week, you know, and after the game we were just kind of having a chat, having a drink, and we were just kind of looking through the 7th edition 140,000 rules, and just going, you know what? I think we could do something. We could, you know, and it became almost a challenge of kind of going, I reckon we could write this in 100 pages. No, if we did this here, we could get it down to 32 pages. Oh, do you reckon you could get down to 24 pages and things like that? And that's what we ended up
without with. Taking out any of the the strategy or the complexity.
It's exactly that. So there were a few little things that you kind of look at how vehicles were treated in 7th edition. And actually the bits that are describing how vehicles are different to everything else is actually longer than the actual kind of core foundation of the game itself. So if you just treated vehicles like other units, then in one fell swoop you kind of, you know, you're kind of simplifying
50 pages
it.
In the bin.
Yeah, absolutely. And the core hasn't changed at all, you know, even since Rogue Trader. You know, what the rules need to do is tell you how to move, how to shoot, how to fight people in close combat, and how your people run away, and how space wizards work, how psychers work. That hasn't changed, really. And actually, when you kind of like boil down to its kind of core fundament like that, you go, universal special rules. Why am I learning, you know, 100 so special rules? I only actually used 3 of them in the game. Cool, well, all right, then why don't we put those things on the data sheets themselves? And at that point, the complexity in that thing comes at the point of contact. You know, you don't need to learn what something's rules are if you're not going to include it within your army. So you're only learning the stuff you need to kind of get there and play your game on 40,000. And one of the things we really wanted to do was make this as accessible as we can. That was one of the kind of the key words at the very beginning, is make this accessible. And one of the ways in which we kind of do that is by cutting down that core rule set. I think we've got it to kind of like 8 to 10 pages, as streamlined, as tight as we possibly can, and that's what you need. You get that, you get your date sheets, and you are good to go. All the rest of it is then essentially a toolbox. That's what the rest of the rule book is. It's advanced rules, expansions, narrative bits and bobs. If you want to use that to kind of like tailor your gaming experience, then you absolutely can. You know, I want to play a knight fight, I want to use Battleforged armies, I want to use advanced terrain. If you don't, that's fine. Just kind of like turn that module off if you want. Create the game you want. And that was hugely exciting, really, really empowering. And again, it's just the start. You know, the next thing to kind of hit the door will be the Codex books. Stay tuned. They're super exciting. I promise you, they're just taking.
And they're
going to
have. I assume that they'll be focused on this three levels of play, three different levels of play for every Codex. Am I wrong or right? Or
the Codexes will cater for any style of gaming that you want, and the same will be true for Chapter Approved when that comes out. That will give you new gaming material, new content, regardless of the way you want to play. And I think the reality is that, you know, we use those three labels, but in truth, everybody kind of like sits a little where in between all of them.
Right.
You know, we love playing narrative games, but actually we're going to use points instead of power because we like that bit. That's absolutely fine. Or vice versa. We love match play, but we're going to use power ratings instead of points. You mix and match it. Your game, guys. You go ahead.
I like that you haven't, and I've said this before, is that you don't marginalizing anyone that may have a particular way they want to play. It's all seems to be really supported there within the book. And I don't know if you cut down the rules design so you could devote more pages to this support. I think it's beautiful.
I don't think it was done with kind of like, no, you've only got this number of pages to do this there. It was the, I guess, the minimum number to make it cool and make it great. I think previously we've tried to write our games as a one-size-fits-all, and we've always struggled with that. We've always, you know, been in that place where the people who like doing things on the fringes of kind of like, you know, the middle, the biggest group thing, then they never find that game as satisfying as it could be. I think they find it frustrating because they, you know, from those ones, like, if you just did these things, then it would be the game I want it to be. But obviously, you know, the more you push it to the left, you know, or to the right or whatever, then you always disgruntle certain people. So,
well, now it's all there.
Yeah, it's all there. It's whatever you want it to be, and you know, and it's backed up. You know, it's not just a rule set, of course. It's backed up with, you know, the best background. You know, the change of the background have been phenomenal, and that's all been down to you know, Jeremy Vitox, the lead background writer for the Dark Imperium set. And of course, let's not forget Star's Gonna Show. You've got those new Primaris Space Marines, those new Death Guard guys, and they just knocked our socks off. They were
amazing. They go together well, pretty easy. You know, put together all the Death Guard in no time.
Yeah, they are great miniatures. And you know, whenever you see, you know, stuff like that, you've got to do those guys justice with the rules.
I love that obligation. I love the mandate you're giving yourself to do that.
Yeah.
Now, I know the game just came out.
Yep.
And I know that everyone hasn't had a time to digest everything. I mean, of course, you know, we have the community pages and the playtest game. Or sorry, yes, the showcase games that's been on Warhammer TV and stuff, and podcasts like this one. But what is a concept of this game that you don't think that maybe we fully appreciate yet, that maybe we should pay more attention to if you haven't heard it gone over so far?
Oh, goodness. I wouldn't know where to begin. I think the organized play things will be really interesting to see where that goes. And that's not just for match play. I think there's the opportunity to kind of go, actually, what kind of narrative event kind of games could you do at like a weekend event? I dare say that, you know, like the big tournaments at Depticon Nova, all those guys will have an absolute blast, and it'll be interesting to see where we go there. But I don't think we want to kind of second guess, and I don't think we've got a destination in our heads going, we're going to get to this place here, and that's the kind of like the agenda there. It's not. I think we want to put that into the community's hands. And, you know, we're still wanting your guys' feedback. If there's a certain part of this that you want to, you know, actually, steer the ship north by northwest, aye, sir. You know, we'll head in that direction. And we can only do that if people keep talking to us and telling us what they like, they don't like, what they'd like to see in the future. We are eager to hear what people saying where to steer our favorite ship is, Warhammer 40,000.
You know, we all have a very vested interest. I mean, you guys arguably could be more than others, but as a community, over the time that we invest in this, we all want it to be good.
Yeah.
And I think that we're at a place where a lot of stuff is really good.
Good. I'm glad to hear it. That's been our goal.
I bet we see a tournament attendance, organized play, up over this year, but just simply because of how approachable the game is right now.
I think it's being honest and embracing that is, you know, that is part of the hobby. I think we are a broad church and all are welcome. I don't think there's there shouldn't be any kind of like stigma or kind of, you know, you like open play. Ooh, no. Open play games are the silent majority in a lot of kind of like groups and gaming communities. Guys are just like, I just want to put some toy soldiers on the table, unroll a few dice whilst I'm having a drink and, you know, eating some chips. That's fantastic, and you know, we want those people to be able to enjoy that hobby because that's their hobby. And people who, I really love that Black Library novel, I'm going to recreate that cool battle that we did. I mean, that was one of the showcase games I did with Jez Bickham. You know, there was that fantastic piece of artwork with the Howling Griffins, my beloved Space Marine chapter, and Gene Steel Occults, which is one of Jez's favourite armies. We're gonna recreate that for ages now. Jez has been ragging on me, going, "Oh, look at that! Your Space Marines are getting eaten there." And I keep telling him, "No, I'm telling you, man. It looks bad for them, but you know, that just makes."
One picture. That's one moment in time.
You fast forward 10 seconds on, and it's another story. You know, their inevitable victory is all the more heroic because of how bad it looks now. But, you know, that was it. Gauntlet down. Let's do the ambush scenario. Let's put a little bit of work behind that. Create the battlefield and really tell that game just for once and for all. Tell what happens. And we did that, and it was the closest game I've ever had of any version of Warhammer 40,000. It's probably the best game.
Wow.
It was amazing. If you get a chance to kind of look back on it on Twitch or something.
That's on Twitch,
like
the Warhammer TV Twitch feed.
Then it's worthwhile doing it. It literally came down to the last man. And I think actually a lot of the games that we've seen on Warhammer TV's First Blood, victory points in it, you know, it's been, you know, 6-7, you know, 10-11, that kind of thing. They've been so close, those games.
With a variation of lists, too. I mean, these are some that you can look at and go, yeah, that's a great list. The other that you may traditionally think of, I don't know where they're going with this, have played out.
Yeah, you know? I think that's exciting. And I think that's what we'll see emerge as the game matures a little bit, is what is a good list? And actually, at the moment, the exciting thing is I look at any list and I don't think to myself, that's a bad list. I haven't seen the bad list. Everything's exciting. Everything's really useful. The game I've just played, you know, it was the Imperial Guard, it was the infantry squads which won the game, just marching across the, you know, the open battlefields, claiming objectives and things. You just never know. Everything has a use. And that's really exciting. And, you know, as the game develops and we introduce new things and new mechanics and stuff, I dare say that will change the effectiveness of certain units over other units. But again, knowing that we can embrace that and actually potentially change the points values and stuff, because again, that's normally been a big no-no. You know, if we haven't got something right, you know, we can kind of like slap ourselves on the wrist and all the rest of it, but the next opportunity we can do to something like that is the next edition of that codex, and that might be several years away.
Yeah, could be. Yeah.
So, you know, everybody's going to find that frustrating, you know, and, you know, we're in that place too. You know, again, we as rules writers, you know, we love this game. We want this to be the best we can, and, you know, sometimes we make mistakes. And we're as eager to rectify those as everybody else is.
Because everyone's cursing your name.
We haven't got the power to do anything about it. Now we do. We've got a mechanism to kind of go, yeah, do you know what, you're right, we did a typo there, or yes, that is too expensive, or yes, that isn't quite, punching its weight. We can do something about that much quicker now. And again, that all comes back from the feedback that you guys give us. So, don't be strangers.
Well, the lines of communication that Games Workshop has open right now through the Facebook, through the comments and the Twitch stream and stuff, it's good. It's better than it ever has been. I think that, and no one is scared to share their opinion. I shouldn't say the vocal minority is strong. I'll say that. So if you do have comments or concerns, I'm sure you'll want to hear them through those channels that are open.
And they are absolutely the right channels. And those guys, whenever you see on Facebook, they say, oh, thank you very much. We'll pass this forward to the team. The guys do pass it on to the team. We do get that, so keep it coming.
That's awesome. When you were going through the index compilation and designs, were there any kind of like pet units that you definitely wanted to see get an improvement, or maybe improvements from more flexibility, more useful, be a viable option for the tabletop?
Oh goodness, I dare say that there's probably
it's not a rattling, is it?
Isn't it? Oh, not anymore. Oh, I don't know.
We'll tell that story in a second.
Yeah, I'm sore on that one. I dare say that the internet has already compiled a list of kind of like all the most improved units and all the rest of it. Pyro Vores, I dare say are doubtless on the list of things that have improved a lot. I think when we were going through that, it was trying to make sure every single unit had a thing and we were capturing the most exciting elements of what it did from a story point of view and from a miniature point of view. I don't think there was a single unit in there that we were like, oh, we're going to absolutely pour extra love into this, that, or the other. I think the index books were designed very much to ensure people could just get playing with their miniature collections straight out the door as quickly as possible.
I'm not sure people had faith this was all going to come together. I mean, when you start saying the game's going to have to redo all the codexes, I mean, I've had a lot of people just kind of groaned and like, I'm never going to get my Orc Codex. I'll be the last one, playable, the index list.
Yeah, and that was also a huge challenge because, having written the core rule set, that's only one piece of the puzzle. You can have the core rule set without the data sheets, without the index books. It's nothing. It's just a, cool, I know how to do this. Now what does my stuff do? Drumming fingers on the table. So actually, the meat of the work was in the index books. And that was a huge task, kind of overseeing that and trying to work with every member of the team to try and get that kind of like universal kind of like vision, try and get that kind of consistency across that was a huge amount of work. And that only gets us up to kind of like the playtesting stage, and then it's an awful lot of work. And they've put a huge amount of work in. We couldn't have done this without them. Those guys have been giving up their time playing games and giving us the feedback to kind of go, no, it's not 10 points, it's 12 points. It shouldn't be 3 attacks, it's 2 attacks. And they really kind of helped us polish, this kind of like raw gemstone into an absolute, brilliant diamond that it is, and we're still going. This is not the end by any stretch. It's just the beginning of the journey.
And that's awesome. So let's talk about this rattling situation.
Oh,
in a rattling situation, I'm tongue in cheek, but believe me. But with the way that models work now, they're all in the same rule set. You talked about this earlier.
Yeah.
Is it the vehicles and the infantry and everything else? They all work on the same base rule set now, and there's not this kind of weirdness. To that result, things can affect, everything can affect each other. Now, things are more resilient, of course, but even the lowly rattling can get a sniper bullet in through the visor of a knight.
Yeah, so in the game that I've just played, my knight had a single wound left, and so... a rattling shot it, didn't wound it, and a command point was used to re-roll that wound roll, and it came up a 6, what it needed to do, which inflicted the mortal wound on my knight. Last wound gone, good night, sweet prince.
So this knight got chipped away the entire game.
Yeah, he was taking basilisk shots, las cannons were striking him. You know, the odd heavy bolt around, kind of like chips another wound off here or there. But he was still kind of like, you know, there, you know, bloody but defiant at the end. And it was literally the last dice roll of the game. And that was it. That was enough to fell him. And it was the absolute perfect way to end that game.
I think that's okay. But I think there are people, just as Deb, I'm smiling the whole time. I thought it was great. This is a game I comment. You can go back and watch it on. I think probably the Facebook, maybe they'll get it up on YouTube. I don't know. Hopefully it's up there for people to see, so people can see this happen. But I think people may be concerned that that can happen. Can you tell me why that's a beautiful thing?
I think it's a beautiful thing because the chances of it happening are so remote. I mean, when you kind of like work through the, you know, things got hit, and a lot of the time you've got to then, you know, roll six to wound and things like that. But one of the things we really wanted to make sure was that at no point did any of your models feel worthless on the battlefield, and I think you had a lot of that in the 7th edition game. It was very rock, paper, scissors in a lot of places, and if I can eliminate both of your last cannons, then you cannot hurt whatever it is, my Land Raider. It is absolutely immortal to all intents and purposes. Your models are useless at that point, and that's never a good feeling when you're up against something, and there's just that feeling of inevitability and that feeling of, well, what's the point? There's nothing I can do. And we wanted to make sure that this was a great gaming experience for both players. Now, the chances of you being able to shoot a Land Raider or a Knight with, you know, las guns or whatever and actually do anything is remote, but the chance is still there.
And the one time it happens, it's going to be like it happens every time.
It's going to be, make that game so memorable. You'll be talking about it forever. You know, it's like, what happened? Ah, oh, you know, the rattling killed the thing. You're like, what?
But we dub it the rattling situation.
but was it that? You know, it's no, any one of those wins. It got 24 at the end of the day. You know, if it hadn't been for that, you know, if I hadn't failed that ion shield save from that last cannon, if the heavy bolt around had missed it, any of these multitude of things had happened, it would still be there. But actually, you know, the stars have aligned and all these things have come together and they've managed to put 24 wounds on the knight, and that's that. You can't argue with it. It's remote, but when fate decides that it's time for roll a hard six and you get it, all credit to you.
That's awesome, man. Seeing it play out and seeing that you still you want to play Warhammer.
Of course I do. Yeah, it's great.
And you've been living this.
Yeah, it's my favorite game. I've said before, it's been a privilege to work on. And I guess the really exciting thing from my point of view now is I can play it now. I can play it outside of the design studio. You know, I can go to events now. I've already got my first kind of doubles tournament kind of booked in, which I'm really looking forward to. I'm going to get my Primaris Marines put together hopefully tomorrow. But actually, just being out to kind of play that now and play, you know, different people with different armies, coming against different lists and all the rest of it, it's super exciting.
Man, Rob, it's been great talking to you. Is there anything else you want to cover before we wrap this up?
No, I think we, you know, just I hope everybody enjoys it and has a blast.
I think they are. I mean, this is the enthusiasm throughout the room, through Warhammer World, on the internet, the comments that my Facebook page gets, and it's people are really happy about this edition. I hope I can connect with you again as we move along this 8th edition journey.
Absolutely. That'd be brilliant.
Awesome, man.
All right.
Have a good night.
Thanks very much.
Why is the rum gone?